Hi friends, hello the world. Welcome to this episode of Tools for Transitioning Humanitarians. I'm your host, Salah Ponawa. And today I want to talk about, oh, sorry, these are the inks from my pen, in case you're wondering. So today I want to talk about the topic that is, I think, the most impactful across the globe, of course, including humanitarians. And the topic is toxic habits. And this is something that I've been thinking about, and I couldn't quite put together everything. And I feel like I have finally have all the elements to make this into a podcast to talk about what are toxic habits and why they're called toxic habits and what can we do about it, especially giving examples of how this shows up and what to do about them is the topic. And it might be a bit longer than the usual podcast. But I will try to put back to value all of this so that it will be very useful wherever you are in your transitioning journey. So let's start with the toxic habits and why I named it this way. Is the reason because I think we often talk about what habit that we really can hone on or develop and practice that will be very useful for our lives, stay healthy, stay emotionally, mentally healthy, do the work that we love, and all of those things. And I think oftentimes we don't really talk about the habits that actually keep us from doing all of those things, right? These toxic habits that influence our lives in so many different ways that impede us, stop us from building the relationships that we want to, doing the impact we want to, living the life fully the way we want to, being in places that we want to, making the money we want to, right? These are the habits that stop us from achieving or living that life. And I think we don't really often sit for ourselves and think about what are they actually in our lives and what can we do about it. And that's the topic that I want to address today. So the number one habit that I find toxic, meaning that influences us so negatively in every part of our life, is being afraid of our emotions. Right. So being afraid of our emotions can show up in the way that, let's say that you want to transition to living with your loved ones and working on the topic that really interests you or that fulfills you or that you really feel good doing it. And as soon as I think about how you could do it, what you could do it, the fear comes up and fear of worry, fear of failure, fear of judgment, all of those come compile together and then just stop us from even going further and taking any actions. Right? And you could, like, experiences even in other parts of our lives, but I just want to give this example that is very particular. But it could also be that you are afraid to speak up your mind, right? At work, it could be that you really want to say your opinion to your supervisor, but you are afraid that the supervisor will then be mad and they are gonna write the a bad performance review, all of those things. You can see that how we keep being afraid of our emotions, of feeling uncomfortable as we say it, feeling uncomfortable how it's gonna go, feeling uncomfortable or afraid of the opinion of the other. And that way, we continue constraining ourselves to a point that we just feel so afraid of going here, going there. And then our lives become so restricted and we don't like it. Right? So this is the number one, I would say, toxic habit that we have all learned, socialized, we have all learned to have it in our program that we just believe that we can't really do anything about our emotions. We can't really control them. We can't really handle them. And therefore, all of the things that we do usually is either we avoid them, we avoid those tough conversations, or we avoid speaking out, we avoid being authentic, we avoid living our life fully, we avoid going for that transition. And that way we just keep suppressing all of the emotions and keep avoiding the ones that we don't like, and therefore feeling like a victim of our lives and essentially our own emotions. So therefore, the solution to this toxic habit, the way that we could replace it, is by feeling all of the emotions that come up as we try to live our authentic life, as we try to transition to what we love, as we try to get the promotion, as we try to speak up our minds. Whatever it is, we're going to feel a lot of emotions. And if we practice experiencing, feeling them more instead of avoiding them, then the more we feel them, the more we realize they're not bad at all. And they're not even hurting us, they're not going to make us feel bad. In fact, avoiding them make us feel bad, but actually going through and experiencing and allowing them is not going to make us feel bad. And the reason I know is I've been practicing it for a long time, and especially after my transitioning in 2021 January, when all of my emotions came up as I left my UN job. And guess what? I knew how to handle them. And of course, in the beginning, I was not really good at it. But I practiced so much that by the end of that year, I was feeling like I can't handle, like there is no emotion I can't handle. And that is the freedom that we feel to be doing whatever we want to. And that's the emotion that I want to help you hone in my group coaching. And this is one of the things that we're working on, and I continue coaching people on this topic, because the more we're afraid, the more success we're going to avoid. And the more success we're going to avoid, the more feeling of fulfillment we're not going to feel. And most importantly, we will not feel all of the spectrum of emotions to live our lives fully and freely. And that's the number one habit we can develop every day in our everyday lives, in transitioning, in making the roadmap, whatever it is. You can help, like you can come to our group coaching where I help you like develop even specific actions on how to experience those emotions, how not to be afraid of them, so then you can break through them. Okay, so that's number one habit. Now, number two, and the reason why I'm numbering it is I believe it's in the order of importance, in the order of how impactful they are. But of course, you are welcome to work on any habit that you would like to. It doesn't matter which order you go to, right? So the second one is assigning blame to someone or something or yourself, right? And this is, I think, the number one habit that we have all somehow learned, because we just believe that's how it should be. We should always find a culprit. We should always find someone to punish, whether it's ourselves or whether it's someone else or whether it's something else. And that way we don't really look into what is actually the thing that we can do to change, because we're just busy blaming someone. We're just busy blaming ourselves. We're just busy blaming and assigning blame to this thing. And therefore we never learn actually to solve this problem in a long-lasting way. Instead, we just shove the responsibility to that thing or to the thing that we're blaming, and then we don't even get to actually learn why and how. So let me give you an example from my personal life, and I think that's something that you may really relate to or not, but the concept itself is, I think, it illustrates well with this example. So when I was little and I was growing up with my family who adopted me, one of the things that I also told about this many times in other podcasts is one of the things that my mom and I had a lot of discussions about is that I always told my mom that, why are you tolerating an abusive man, right? Why, like my father, who was a violent man, And I used to tell my mom, why do you even stay here? Why not just leave? Why not just leave and take us with you? I'm gonna go with you, right? So all of those things I used to tell my mom, except that she wouldn't do that because she's too afraid, right? So the toxic habit number one. And she would always keep saying, and so many other people around us keep saying that, well, it's the money that's the problem. If my father had enough money, or if my mother had enough money, then none of these problems would arise, and therefore everyone would just assign the blame to the money. And guess what? How I grew up thinking about money. I grew up thinking about money that money is evil. Money is the cause of all fights in families. Money destroys families. Money causes violence. Money is something that everyone is pissed about it, but at the same time, everyone needs. And all of these contradictory messages that I learned about money, because my parents assigned everything of their problems to money. Right? Now, guess what is the outcome of that? Is that nothing is changing. My mom didn't learn how to be independent. My father didn't learn how to manage his emotions and his violence and do something about it. And everyone just kept saying, well, if it wasn't for this, and something that can't be changed, something that unless both of them start actually earning money, right? Not like the situation, the circumstances were not going to change. And that's, I think, what's happening a lot of the times is that we are again using the money, for instance, as a reason for how we cannot live the life we want to, right? So if I translate this context to my transitioning humanitarians, what often happens is that we just believe that money is something that we cannot really make on our own. Money is something that we should be all dependent on and use it to cause violence and whatever else. And of course, that's extreme, right? But we often use money as a reason for we cannot do XYZ. We cannot live the life we want to. We cannot. And then what we end up doing is we end up being the victims of money. Right? We allow then money to tell us where we can work, tell us what jobs we'll be applying for. The money will be also dictating how long we can stay in that duty station or not. Are we going to that duty station or not? And of course, there might be other factors as well, but because of money or fear of not having money dictates a lot of our decisions. Excuse me. Instead of, if we didn't blame money, now let's think about it. If we didn't blame money, or if we didn't even use money as a way to say, okay, because of you, money, I have all these problems. If we didn't do that, then how different it might be, right? So in the case of my parents, the way that it could have looked like then, okay, no matter how much money they had or didn't have, what is it the cause of their fights, right? What is it the cause of their fights is actually that my father had expectations, they were not met. My mother had expectations, they were not met. And they just kept blaming each other and not really communicating about what to do about that situation, not really communicating about, okay, why am I even expecting all of these things from each other? Or how are we going to solve the problem of money now that we're fighting over it? What are we going to do about it? Because fighting is not going to help solve it, right? Being angry about it, being all of those emotions around it is not going to solve it. It's going to just exacerbate. So what they could have done instead, if they didn't blame each other, if they didn't assign the blame to the money, then they would have sat together and decided, okay, you're going to do this and I'm going to do this, and this is how we're going to earn and support the children that would we adopted, right? That could have been the case. Now, in the case of my transitioning humanitarians, if we didn't assign blame to money, right? So if we didn't say, oh, if it wasn't for money, I would have left the humanitarian sector a long time ago. If it wasn't for this pay, the good pay, then I would have done XYZ. If we do that, then we're just becoming powerless. We're just assigning the power to the money. And the consequence of that is then we're going to tie ourselves and we're going to tell ourselves that, well, we cannot really do it anywhere else. It's very hard to make money, or I don't even believe that I can make money on my own. And therefore, I'm going to just stay being hostage of the situation that I don't want to be. Now, what we need to understand is also that oftentimes people then go to the extreme and say, well, then I need to blame myself, right? I need to blame myself for not being able to make it, for being so stupid, or for being this, for being that. That is not the point either, right? So blaming the money or someone, the institution or yourself is not going to get us anywhere. We know this. And if you haven't learned, or if you haven't observed this, go observe all of your situations and see where did you go with all the blame that you have assigned to others or to yourself. Nowhere. And therefore, what we need to understand is that if we don't assign blame to money, blame to ourselves, or blame to the institution, then we have actually the mind space and heart space to then say, okay, this is the amount I want to make by doing this thing. I don't want to do this in this context. I want to do it somewhere else. And how am I going to do that? Then we have more space opened up to be looking at what is it that we can do? How are we going to do that? What are the ways that we may fail? And what are we going to do if we fail or when we fail? All of these things we can now maturely look at it and then decide what to do about it instead of just freaking out about it or freaking out about not having it and then feeling like we need to just get something so that we can feel safe. Right. So that's why you can see that the more we assign blame to something or someone or ourselves, we're going to just create so much of the emotional turmoil that we're not even wanting it in the first place. And we're not going to explore where our power lies, no matter what we want, how we can like own our agency, right? Create our power over money instead of letting it keep governing us. And that brings me to the third habit, which is distrusting our opinions. And this is something that I think is so fascinating that keeps coming up in every coaching session that I have. And the way that it comes up is we all have a lot of questions. Especially when we're transitioning, we have a lot of questions like, will this work? What if it doesn't work? Is there a guarantee? What if there is no guarantee? What if I lose everything? And all of these questions. And the list could be a very long one. And what we also notice that many of us don't even answer those questions. And the reason why we don't answer those questions is because, A, we probably believe that we don't have the answer. I.e., someone else does, right? That's where the distrust is coming from. So we just assume that these are the questions that someone needs to answer for me, or someone needs to help me answer, which also suggests that I don't have the answer or I don't trust my answer, right? Oftentimes we have the answers, but we don't own them. We don't trust them enough to own and then execute on them. And the question then arises is why? Why do we do that? And the reason I believe is because we're just so programmed that way, but also we just haven't learned to take that responsibility, full responsibility for not only having that question, but also having the answer to it and going and executing it and learning the lessons from it. We haven't learned much. And therefore, of course, we always have this feeling as if someone else knows the answer. And it's a bit like, a lot of the examples that I hear, and I think my examples including, come from this oppressed societies, right? Where there was always an oppressive regime or system that used to govern us and that used to tell us what to do and not to do. And we just used to believe that there is this regime that knows all the answers. We don't need to know all the answers. And that's a bit like how we also treat our employers, maybe. Right? The way that we treat our employers is that the employer is responsible for all the things, for my well-being, my hours of work, and how I feel about my future, my stability. And we have just given all of our responsibility to the employer or to the regime, whatever it is, right? And because of that, we have just not learned to trust our own opinions, let alone to execute on them. And I don't blame you because it took me a long time to learn to trust my own damn opinion. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't ask for advice, or I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk to other people about it, but also notice that what is the energy behind it when you talk to other people about it. If the energy is, I already feel that I'm going to do this way, I want to brainstorm with others how they think. If there's anything that I'm missing, that's one thing. But if you think of discussing it with others, expecting them to answer it because you are afraid of your own answer or you can't own your own answer, then that's not the thing you need to be practicing. Right. So therefore, the alternative to this distrusting our opinion is obviously fully trusting our opinion, even if we make mistakes. And that's a good thing because we're supposed to make mistakes and we're supposed to learn from them. And if we're going to keep worrying about what mistake not to make and dodging the mistakes and all of those things, then we're not going to go for what we want to because we keep being afraid of taking responsibility. Now, taking responsibility does not mean we should blame ourselves again. Just I want to reiterate because oftentimes people understand when I say that, people misunderstand when I say that. We need to take responsibility for our opinions and executing them. People always say, well, that means that you just think that we are to blame or we are at fault. No, why are we even seeking or searching for someone to punish, right? It doesn't even like that is that's not the point. The point is, how can we trust our opinion, execute on it, and implement it and find out the results, and then see where did those opinions led us. And then if we were mistaken, then also learn not to blame ourselves for what we have done and instead go and course correct it. And that is a great set of a sequence of actions that we can take without blaming and with fully owning our opinion. The fourth one is detecting excuses or being loyal to excuses, maybe is really the name of the toxic habit. Now, this is something that I have talked a lot about in so many different ways, and I don't need to go too much into detail. But one of the things that you really need to understand is that whatever the thing you are going for, right, whatever the goal and the life you're going for, and anything you are doing against that would be an excuse. If you want to make it so simple, that would be the excuse. So let me give you an example. So let's say that I decided to transition to making the impact in my own way and living with my loved ones, being in the place that I want to. Let's say that's the goal that I want to pursue and, excuse me, and making the money I want to, right? Now, as I go and start doing this, what's going to happen? My brain is going to tell me all the stories of how it's not going to happen, right? And some of the stories might be that, well, it's too scary, it's too hard, it's going to take a long time. Who knows, it will work out. All of these stories will come up. And those stories are excuses. Except that our brain will present them in the most compelling way possible, that we are not going to be able to detect that this is actually an excuse. We're going to believe them and being loyal to them and just like keep following them instead of saying, no, Those are all objections that everyone's brain has when they want to go for whatever they want to. And even now, I have all of these objections. As I grow to the next level of my growth, I always have these objections. My brain always tells me, you have never done this before. It's going to be hard. It's going to be taking a lot of time. It's going to be scary. All of this will come up at every level of growth. And I have just gotten so good at detecting them and not listening to them, and instead keep going for what I want. So the way that we can always look at the excuses are we notice them, we observe them, we're aware of them, right? We can always be aware of set of excuses that we all may have. And then we decide what to do with them consciously. So one would be questioning them, another would be ignoring them, the third would be letting them be there and continue doing the thing that you want to anyway, and not making them big deal, not making them something that actually stops you from going for what you want to. Because remember, whatever it is that we're going for, if anything that gets us away from it would be an excuse. The next one is the fifth one is undermining who we are. And I think this is the, I would say, I don't know, maybe number one thing that happens across the globe. And now that I'm coaching people literally from every continent, you all, and I'm so proud of it. And this thing is like the number one thing. I should have maybe like started with this. But the number one powerful toxic habit that is stopping us from living our life in the most amazing way is the habit of undermining who we are. And the way that it shows up is like this. It's going to be something like, I have confidence issues. I don't think I'm confident enough to go for that job. I don't think I can do that job that they're asking me, so I can't really ask for the promotion. I don't think I'm ready for the promotion. I don't think I can make that much money, even though I would love to. Oh my God, this is so much money. I don't know if I deserve it. All of this have one thing in common, which is that I'm not the person who is enough or deserving to be making that money or to be having that responsibility, to be taking that job and living the life we want to. And the question is, why do we keep doing it even when we know that's what we keep doing it? Because a lot of people tell me that, oh, I have confidence issues, I have imposter syndrome, I have this, I have that. They all tell me all of the time that this is what they have. That means that they have observed it. That means that they have been very curious and aware of what the issue is. But what I don't see, or most of the time, is them telling me what they have done about it. And oftentimes, guess what? They haven't done anything about it. Now, the question is why, right? Why can't we or haven't we done anything about what we observe to be a problem? Because I think because we just believe that we don't really, we can't really do anything about it. We can't really change anything. This is just who we are. This is what we're just like habitually, we're so habituated to believe our story and then just keep living our lives. And that's the part that really strikes me is that if we know this is a problem, or if we know that this has been influencing us all of our lives, why haven't we been sitting like intensively and working it through and resolving it once and for all so that it never is a problem anymore? Why? Why haven't we done it? And that's what I really want to invite to my group coaching, where we really need to get this sorted, because otherwise, no matter what we do, we continue over undercharging, we continue underestimating ourselves, we continue telling ourselves that I can't do this, I can't do that, I have never been able to do that, and then we just continue restricting ourselves from going for what we want. And if we want to really like see ourselves powerful, and see ourselves as someone who is so capable of doing whatever we want to, then one of the things is we need to stop undermining ourselves. And that is something very obvious, yet many of us are not doing it because we just believe this is who we are. No, this is not who we are. The version of us of who we are is actually the most powerful, the most daring, the most courageous, the most going all in person, because that's how we are born. And that's how we are created as humans. And along the way, programs have changed us, societal programs have changed us to the version where we continue believing that we have this problem, we have that problem. And most importantly, we keep believing that we can't do anything about it. And that needs to stop. And the second, the sixth one, and the last one is indulging in all of the confusion, worry, and all of those things negative instead of actually doing the things. And this is something that I was the biggest culprit of, especially in the beginning of my transitioning, is I think I spent the first year beside like freaking out and all of those things. I stayed the first year in confusion as to, oh my God, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna do? When am I gonna find clients? How can I cl find clients? Are they even existing? Da, 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 da. All of those anxiety and confusion, and I continued indulging in it to a point that I would just keep consuming all of the trainings and never actually do anything about them. I will continue listening to podcasts after podcasts or YouTube channels, whatever it is, and my days would be spent just consuming instead of actually doing things about it. And the alternative to this habit, if you will, is getting clear, certain about doing something concrete, something that you are most scared of usually, and then finding out the result. That's the other habit, the alternative habit that we need to develop. And the great part about my group coaching is where I help detect when you are indulging in your emotions, when you are indulging in confusion, and I help you get out of it as soon as possible instead of wasting a lot of time believing that you can't do anything about it and then missing the opportunity and delaying the process of being successful in your transition. And that's the habit that I feel like when we indulge in overthinking, procrastinating and delaying and just being not sure and who knows what and how, and then not making a decision. When we stay in that, what we're not doing is living the life we want to, making the impact we want to, being with our loved ones, and making the money that we want to. And if we don't want to delay that thing, then we need to better get out of our confusion and our and disappointment and our whatever the emotions, and getting to actually doing things and learning and measuring and finding out why things are working and not working and what to do about it. So therefore, my group coaching is really designed to help you get away from these habits that influence you negatively most of the time, and then getting you build the habits that are the opposite of these, getting you to really embrace your emotions, whatever they are, and not being afraid of them, right? In other words, feeling free of those emotions and no longer indulging in the blame or accusations of yourself or others, or assigning blame to something, instead looking at how you can actually change, make the changes necessary so that you are in charge of them instead of them being in charge of you. And the other one is how you trust your opinion fully so that you can own and execute on them instead of keep searching for answers somewhere else, and how to detect your excuses and decide what to do with them instead of just keep believing and being loyal to them. And of course, stop undermining yourself and stop indulging in emotions or activities that are not useful at all and that don't get you to the outcomes in the life you want to live. So, if you would like to work on these, excuse me. coaches me in my group coaching. You still have time to sign up and work with me, and it's a lifetime of support that you can access, and get my support anytime you want to transition to the life you want to. Have a beautiful week. Thank you so much. Bye.